Enough is enough, says the Times Union Newsroom, as they make plans to form a union. Good morning. And live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live on the radio at 9. Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just ahead, we'll tell you why Florida Times Union reporters and staff are making the move to become a union shop. What are your thoughts? Get online now at 549-2937. Then later, author Brett Pettway on her book, Prayer is Good, A Path from Grief to Peace. Plus, it's almost time for the Summer Songbook Showcase this weekend out at the beaches. We'll tell you where you can hear some great music. All of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, after years of layoffs and reductions to the work staff, the newsroom employees of the Florida Times Union have voted to begin the process to join the News Guild Communications Workers of America. Yes, they're unionizing. This move comes several months after Morris Publications, for many decades the Times Union's owner, sold the paper to another company, Gatehouse Media. Two other newspapers that have been taken over by Gatehouse in Florida have already made the move to unionize. Here in Jacksonville, the journalists say they've had no choice but to do this. They say the move is needed to get a seat at the bargaining table, save jobs, dozens and dozens have been eliminated, and maintain a strong journalistic presence on the First Coast. What does this mean for our newspaper of record here in Jacksonville? Well, here with more, we welcome two of the reporters who led the effort to unionize the Times Union Newsroom, Andrew Pantazzi and Tessa Duval, as they join us in studio. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Melissa.
And here's our question to callers. What are your thoughts about news that the Florida Times Union staff, which is now down to less than 40 in that big building on Riverside Avenue, they're voting to unionize? What are your thoughts about unions? What are your thoughts about the Times Union? What are your thoughts about this news? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online and send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. And we welcome your comments. We're already getting them on our First Coast Connect Facebook page. You can let us know your thoughts there, too. All right, Tessa, let's begin with you. This began shortly after the newspaper was taken over several months ago by a company called Gatehouse Media. The former owner, Morris Communications, or Morris Publications, sold the TU off to Gatehouse. What was it about that change that started the union talk in the newsroom?
Where do you even start? We went from being a family-owned newspaper to being just a number to what is essentially a giant company that owns dozens and dozens of daily newspapers. But to us, the Times Union is special, and the people in our newsroom, our colleagues, are special to us. And so when we saw our newsroom lose 10 people, our already small newsroom, as you established, lost 10 more people in January. That was just, we thought we couldn't get any leaner. You know, we
that
are
That was
all,
the last straw?
That really was. And so this is where I have to give a lot of credit to Andrew for taking the first steps and reaching out to the News Guild. So this is, while to some people this may look like a first step, the reality is this has been going on for about 6 months, and it's been a lot of talking to our colleagues and hearing their concerns and making them feel heard. And that's what we have to continue to do. Like, this is our way of being heard when we are just one of many to a giant company.
And I need to disclose, my husband was one of the 10 people that got laid off from the Times Union in January after working for the paper for over 15 years. Okay, Andrew Pantazzi, so you reached out to the News Guild of America.
Yeah, this wasn't the first time that I've spoken with the News Guild. I had spoken with them a few years ago as well. When we were owned by Morris, we don't have rose-colored glasses. Morris was not a great owner either. In addition to making poor business choices that led them to have debt and caused them to have a 10% salary cut 10 years ago of newsroom employees, a salary cut that has not been restored for those employees who have been there that long. once they got out of debt, they had always promised that they would share their profits, something they did not do. And that was something that had outraged us back then. I think everyone had a positive view when I would talk to them about potentially organizing a few years ago, but there still wasn't a sense of urgency. After we were purchased by an investment firm in New York, things changed pretty quickly. We realized that while Morris may have made poor business choices, we do genuinely think that they took pride in ownership of us. We genuinely are just a number on a page for a publicly traded company, and we can look at the language that they use in their annual report. We can see the way that they describe the newspapers they own, and we can see how they keep taking on more debt to buy more newspapers. And in order to take on more debt, they have to lay off more people so they can go to the lender and say, look how many people we were able to cut in Jacksonville. Now will you let us buy Austin? Now will you let us buy Palm Beach? They keep aggressively making moves across the country for these medium to mid-large size newspapers.
And so this move from the staff of the Times Union is the latest newsroom, print newsroom in America to say, we're unionizing. We've seen this at a number of newspapers across America. Tessa.
Newspapers, online publications. If we are successful with our election vote, which we hope to have in about a month, we would be the third newspaper in Florida.
All of which were bought, all of which unionized after they were bought by Gatehouse.
So I think the common ingredient, at least in Florida right now, is certainly Gatehouse. We are so supportive of our local editor and of our local publisher. We just really can't be clear enough in saying that we have had great success under the leadership that we have now. We were just named Gatehouse's Large Newspaper of the Year, and our editor was named Editor of the Year. This is purely about us having a voice against this large company that doesn't care about Jacksonville and doesn't care about our journalism, because we are so proud of the journalism that we do.
And you've had a number of really well-regarded investigations in the newspaper lately that have been so important, I think, for this community. So what are the next steps in your move to unionize, and what is your strategy to ensure, I guess, a successful vote? Because companies don't like unions. I think everybody knows that. And companies will try a lot of tactics to peel off votes, prevent a majority vote. They will send flyers to your home. Mm-hmm. They will force you to attend anti-union meetings during the workday. They will take aside a few key people in your newsroom and promise them raises and promotions if they vote no. I experienced all of this when I worked at a television station in Chicago years ago that was owned by the Tribune Company. The union vote, the union cards were signed by a majority of staff. In the end, when it came time to vote, the move to unionize lost by one vote because of the corporate approach to preventing the union from getting in. So, Andrew Pantazzi, how do you plan to navigate your way through that in a right-to-work state and with a company that will be hostile to your efforts?
Well, we are asking to be voluntarily recognized. When we sent in the paperwork yesterday to the National Labor Relations Board, we told them we have overwhelming numbers and we would like them to save us all the pain of going through an election and just voluntarily recognize us. If they choose not to do so, that will be their decision. Going forward, we have incredible solidarity. The cards we turned in were about 2/3 of the newsroom with a bunch more that were signed after the fact. So we're now over 3/4 of the newsroom who have signaled their intent for a union. We feel very united as a newsroom. I think that we feel like we are listening to one another. I feel like we are injecting democracy back into the newspaper. This newspaper is vitally important to Jacksonville. And I think something people probably don't realize about journalists is we're also newspaper readers. And so any complaints that you might have about the newspaper shrinking or about not getting, you know, sports scores when you used to, those are things that we also see in our own newspaper. And those are the results of decisions made by corporate headquarters that is distant from our community. This is the same newspaper that investigated Jaxport years ago. This is the same newspaper that investigated FSCJ leading to the ouster of its former president. This is the same newspaper that was able to explain the conviction of Corinne Brown and now is explaining the indictments of Reggie Brown and Katrina Brown. This newspaper is essential to Duval County, and we believe that as a newsroom, standing solidly together, united, that we are able to combat any misinformation that the company chooses to use, because we know what the tactics are going to be. They're going to say we're a family. They're going to say that we need flexibility in the workplace. And I can tell you, I've read their most recent annual report, and you can find it too on the SEC website. On the most recent annual report, they talked about unionizing. And they said one of their concerns was that more newsrooms would unionize and they would have less opportunity to cut costs at newspapers. And we know what cut costs mean. Cut costs means laying off people who are in this city, working a job that is helping to shed a light on how the city's power structure works.
And let me just point out to listeners, Gatehouse Media is a profitable company. Let me also point out that Morris, the previous owner, was also always a profitable company. I frankly have to ask you, I'm surprised, frankly, hearing this news from you this week, that this was never aggressively tried under the Morris reign. And by the way, on the front page of the Times Union this morning, there is no information about your attempts to unionize. I couldn't help but notice that either.
You know, I think we expected that. Now that we've made this decision and brought in the NLRB, you know, attorneys are involved, this changes a lot for the time being. So, you know, we're not surprised by that. We're not offended by that. You know, we are feeling very good about our decision. We feel that this is the right thing to do. And really, I think it was a really excited, enthusiastic feeling among newsroom employees yesterday.
And in a moment, we'll talk with Tessa Duval and Andrew Pantazzi about what they hope to achieve from unionizing at the paper. But in the meantime, let's go to your calls at 549-2937. What are your thoughts about unions here in this right-to-work state? What are your thoughts about the fate of the Florida Times Union as its staff signs union cards? 549-2937. Mike is in St. Augustine. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I want to thank the workers for organizing. This is really part of a trend. You see that the two most anti-union papers in American history, the Los Angeles Times and the Chicago Tribune, mm-hmm. have unionized. And basically, it's an attempt to save print media because it's being destroyed by hedge fund owners, you know, and I really appreciate this. The other thing is that Florida's Constitution, while it says it's a right-to-work state, also said that the right to unionize and to bargain collectively shall not be abridged. So I hope you guys take good advantage of that.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Okay. And let me ask you quickly before we go to another call. If you are successful in this push, what then will you be asking your corporate bosses for? Higher salaries, different working conditions? What do you hope to achieve at the bargaining table?
So the next step would be to survey the members of the bargaining unit to see what are the common goals that we would be going into negotiation with. But I can tell you certainly higher salary, better health insurance, being able to, again, have a voice in the process before any layoffs occur. And to your point about them being profitable, not only are they profitable, but they are giving what I would term as outrageous bonuses to their chief executive. The chief executive in the final year, I've got the numbers in front of me, with a salary of $550,000, which is fine. He also got a bonus of $750,000 and another stock bonus of $400,000. So in total in bonuses, he was getting more than $1 million last year at the same time that they were laying off people like your husband and in other newspapers across the country. So
and again, I need to disclose, I do have a connection to this story. It's my understanding that the CEO of the company put out a statement recently saying only highly paid and non-productive staff have been laid off. And that is simply not true. And I can attest to that.
It's simply not true because very few, if any, people in our newsroom are highly paid. You'll see in the information that we've put forth and that some of our fellow media outlets in Jacksonville have reported, we have a reporter who has worked at our publication, Beth Cravey, who covers nonprofits and does so very well, has not cracked $40,000 annually, and she has worked here since, what, 1987? That's a travesty.
And just about any day you look at the paper, her story is going to be what we call the Metro cover, the main story on the front of the Metro section. She is highly productive and extraordinarily underpaid.
Susie on the Intercoastal. Hi, Susie. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to talk as quickly as I can gather my thoughts because I'm driving and I'm very uncomfortable talking and driving. But the reason for my call is that I'm so glad that this situation is finally getting some light. We moved here 3 years ago from Palm Beach County, and before that, I was a 20-year resident of Westchester County in New York. And what has happened to our newspapers, truly, the voice of the people is also happening across all of media. There are gigantic consolidations taking place that are helping investors, but they are not the voice of the people, and they are not helping us. And people need to stand up and realize that we're losing our objectivity, our sources of information, our camaraderie, and the community spirit that is all fostered by local media, which is larger than just the newspapers. It also includes our radio stations and our television.
Thank you for that. And we need to point out, as we talk about this here on the show, that the Florida Times Union is joining a long list of print and digital companies over the last couple of years in making moves to form a union. Everyone from the New Yorker to, as you mentioned, the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, digital publications like HuffPost, Vox Media, Vice Media, and others. Fast Company, another big website. This is a tumultuous time for the media industry. And so in the midst of continuing layoffs and lack of raises that go on for many years, we see staff doing this all over the country. What would you say to those who are listening who oppose unions and say, well, if you don't like the job, get another job, and you're getting paid what the market will bear?
So I think it's important to remember we're not on an opposing side from Gatehouse here, not directly. We both would like to see the newspaper last and flourish. However, when you have investment fund owners who are based in New York and we live in Jacksonville and we are a part of this community, I think we know better what this community needs. And given the profitability of the company, we believe that it needs an investment back into the newsroom. So just to give you another example, we have to pay for our subscriptions just like anyone else. And so we understand that it is an expensive subscription. And I think that the investment fund owners in New York don't realize how important it is to put the money back into the newspaper so we can build up our subscription revenue. We're under no delusion that forming a union is going to make all of our problems go away. But we do believe that forming a union gives us a voice in the future. And right now, the reason you're seeing places like the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, the New Yorker, the Sarasota Herald Tribune, the Lakeland Ledger, you're seeing places all across the country organize is because they realize these next few years are vital to democracy in America. In these next few years, we need to see if newspapers can survive as we
adapt.
Yeah, survive, adapt as we lose revenue and we search for new revenue streams. And I think the best way to do so is with the newsroom and the employees who produce the paper having a voice in the process.
I think what's also important to point out is journalists have not always been good at advocating for ourselves.
Preach.
And our work. You know, you're told you're supposed to be objective. You shouldn't have opinions. But this is not about me, and this is not about Andrew. This is about this community having a newspaper that survives, that can continue to bring us stories like Walking While Black and As the Ocean Creeps In, and to cover our mayor and to cover our elected officials like our state attorney. I mean, we need this organization for the betterment of our community, and we have to be the ones who demand that. We have to get past this notion that we can't take stands, because right now we have to take a stand for this newspaper and for our colleagues.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Tessa Duval and Andrew Pantazzi of the Florida Times Union. As the staff at the TU signs union cards, they will work to join the News Guild of America. They're following suit in the steps of other print and digital publications across the country. What are your thoughts about the union movement, or rather, in recent decades, the lack of it? What are your thoughts about the Times Union and its importance here in Jacksonville? We'll go to your calls in a moment. A few more calls at 549-2937. In the meantime, lots of emails, tweets, Facebook comments. Here's one from a listener. We support our local paper, Go Union. Being part of a union gives you a voice at the table, says Valerie. Bill emails the show. It's refreshing to hear that workers are organizing for better wages and health care. The middle class was built on the shoulders of organized workers, and the deterioration of unions directly correlates to the fall of the middle class. Andy emails the show. I applaud the staff of the besieged Times Union for standing up to the slash and burn policies of their parent company. I wish them the best of luck in turning around the recent setbacks at this important local news source. And then on Facebook, lots of discussion about this. Rhoda writes, it's a great move. I wish journalists in Jacksonville would cover more protest marches. Mainstream media spends a second of airtime on human rights issues here in Jacksonville. Rhoda, the staff keeps getting smaller and smaller, so there are less stories.
We wish we could cover more of those things, too.
Yeah, yes. There are less stories that the paper and other media outlets can cover. Virginia writes, protecting the jobs and the people in journalism is more important now than ever. Clearly, union, yes. Laura writes, unions made the middle class. I'm glad the journalists are banding together. They are our ears and eyes. Here is a comment from Mark. I would like to hear points for and against unionizing. I was under the impression that unions were obsolete. Okay, let's talk about that for just a moment. Very few employees in America now belong to a union. It's down from much higher figures in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Corporate America over the decades has made a concerted effort to weaken or bust up unions. And, you know, as someone who used to work in television news, I heard all of the arguments for and against when I worked in cities where the workers in my newsrooms were unionized. On the plus side, you do have a place at the table. You can collectively bargain for higher wages and other benefits. The negative side of a union shop is, frankly, inefficiency. Particularly in electronic journalism, as I witnessed more than once. If you are not part of a union, for example, even if you know how to edit or work a piece of equipment, you're not allowed to touch that piece of equipment. And the argument against unionizing was that it made for a less efficient workflow. And so that was my experience with it. And others may have a different experience. So what about the pros and cons of unionizing a workplace?
Yeah, so going through this process has been an incredible educational experience for me, getting to talk to people who have unionized before, getting to see what contracts look like. And to your point about your experience with TV stations that had union shops, there are places that have contracts that we would not like, but we get to choose our contract. The whole point is there's nothing that has to be in a contract. There's nothing that we have to have. So there are places, I believe Milwaukee's newspaper is one of them, where reporters can only report. They can't take photos. Editors can't report. Photographers can't write. That's a bad contract. We wouldn't want that in our contract. There's no reason we would approve that. Instead, when we come to the bargaining table and we decide on what we want, we're going to look for what is best for Jacksonville. And I don't think we're going to look for things that are restrictive like that, but are still going to allow flexibility in the workplace. As for the pros, again, we can't promise that this is going to make all of our problems go away. But just as we think about the future of the newspaper, especially if revenues continue to decline, then as we think about how they make layoffs or how they make decisions of who to cut and who to keep, we would like to be a part of the discussion. So they are not required to negotiate with the local editor. There's no legal obligation where they have to talk to her in good faith. With us, they will. So if they tell us they need to do layoffs, we can file an information request. We can say, how much are you looking to cut from your budget? And then we can say, is there a way we can get there without cutting this many people? Are there ways that we can look at buyouts instead of layoffs? We can look at alternative options, and they're legally obligated to negotiate with us in a way that they aren't with others.
Without this, we're sitting ducks. With this, we can try. You know, we can have this conversation right now because we've taken this first step of filing cards. Without having done that, you know, right now we could be seen as disparaging the company, and that's not something that would be protected. And again, as Andrew said earlier, this isn't about bashing Gatehouse. This is about building up and protecting and preserving what it is that we are in favor of.
And I would like to...
One second. Let me just get a few more calls to connect with you both. Amanda is in Murray Hill. Amanda, go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling to say that I'm pro-union, and a lot of people think that they're anti-union, but they're anti-Gomperism. You know, we haven't had labor reform in over 100 years in so many industries across the board. I work in the culinary industry, and it's a war zone. You know, anybody can tell you to do anything that they want you to do. They make you stay late. You're constantly overworked.
Yeah.
They would really benefit from unionizing and legitimizing the entire industry. It would no longer be just something that people do when they have nothing else. I'm pro-union. I like what you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tammy on the West Side. Go ahead, Tammy.
Yes, I agree 100% with the caller and the guests you have there today. I am part of a union, born and raised in New York, but now a fellow Southerner. And one of the things that people don't realize is that unions are for the people. And since we're a right-to-work state, that union house can never be 100%. So in other words, it will protect the unionized members, but also the non-union members will get the rights and the perks that a lot of people don't realize. And we fight for all when it comes to the unions here in the right to state Florida. Thanks, guys.
Yes. Yeah, so what she's talking about there is in a right to work state, what that means is that the not everyone has to pay dues, but everyone will benefit from the contract that we can get. So if we get a contract and someone decides not to pay dues, they'll still benefit, and we're still going to look out for them. We're still going to look out for all of our coworkers, regardless of their union status or not.
John is downtown. Hello, John. Go ahead.
Yes, we built the highest standard of living in the world from 45. 63. Read the 1956 National Republican Platform, and you'll see how the business culture has actually changed from that time. That's our economic problems that we've got today. Thank you.
Thank you. One more call, and then we'll go back to the reporters. Carolyn in Avondale. Carolyn, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I applaud your decision to become unionized, and I am myself a member of a union. But I wanted to remind everybody that the origin of unions were guilds, and guilds were responsible for training people in the profession that they represented and providing a standard of training so that when people went out to the workplace to work wherever they were doing, electricians, newspaper people, whatever, that management, the hiring people, could rely on the quality of the people they were getting. And that's the thing that unions have kind of gotten away from, but that everyone would benefit from, and they might be received more favorably. And I'll take any comments off there.
Okay, thank you. All right, go ahead, Tessa.
You know, Melissa, one of the things that has been so encouraging about the last 23 and a half hours has been the outpouring of support that we have gotten from members of the community, from our readers, our subscribers, from union members, from guild organizations at newsrooms across the country and even in Canada. That support is tremendous, and it reaffirms that what we are doing is worthy and has a higher purpose. And, you know, I know that some people might see this as a thing that could be potentially divisive in the newsroom. If, you know, if it's so uniting, why do you not have 100%? And we just want to say that this isn't done. We're still listening. We're still talking to people. We are still having these conversations with our colleagues. And we're confident that this will be a net positive for us and our morale.
And we wanted to wait until we had a strong consensus of the newsroom that it was not 50% plus one deciding how things would go.
And you're up to what, 75%?
At least 75% who have signaled their intent to join. So we wanted to make sure that this is truly what the newsroom as a whole wants. And we're a quirky bunch. We are...
no, really?
Reporters have a well-earned...
I didn't know that.
We have a well-earned reputation for being an odd bunch. And the fact that I think so many people across departments, across jobs... have joined together. I've never experienced anything like this in the newsroom. I've been here for 5.5 years at the paper, and I'm a lifelong native of Jacksonville. And this is the first time where I really feel like everyone has each other's backs. Everyone is supporting one another, and everyone is fighting for each other's rights to continue to work.
And I know that some people may be listening and think, geez, these two sound awful young, and they just kind of sound like they're some rabble-rousers. It might be true, but... what's important to know is our organizing committee, which is, you know, for the last 6 months, the group that has really kind of been helping to push this forward. I mean, we span, you know, 3.5 years to 30 plus years here. I mean, we really are a diverse bunch that come from a variety of backgrounds and experiences with the company and in life. And so just don't hear our young voices and think that this is it's just a couple of kids raising problems.
And I do want to say if you are supportive, because it sounds like we've had a lot of callers who are showing their support for us. The number one way you can support us is to go to jacksonville.com/subscribe now, purchase a $13 a month digital subscription, and send us a screenshot. Our email is what, timesunionguild@gmail.com?
Yes, and we have Twitter. We have a WordPress.
Send us a screenshot of your subscription so that we can show Gatehouse that we support the longevity of the newspaper, that we want this to last. And if you live in Jacksonville, this is helping you as well. So we would love for you to show us your support. Again, that's jacksonville.com/subscribe now, and purchase a $13 a month digital subscription, or if you can purchase a print subscription like I do. I have a 7-day a week subscription, and it's still my preferred way to get the news. But if you can only afford a digital subscription, it's a fantastic way to show that you support the union effort that we're undergoing here.
And I'd encourage everyone to subscribe, no matter where they stand on the union, simply because it's important to be informed. And so as the staff of the Times Union sign union cards, we'll keep you posted on this process. In the meantime, thanks so much for being here, Norma Ray and Mate One. I mean, Tessa Duval and Andrew Pantazzi.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Much more still ahead later. It's a network for female singer-songwriters to celebrate their talents. We'll tell you about this weekend's Songbook Summer Showcase. But up next, dealing with depression through prayer, art, and journaling, author Brett Pettway after this.
The USF College of Public Health offers students career advancement with a certificate or degree from Florida's number one public health grad school, as ranked by U.S. News. Fall classes begin August 20th. Registration info at publichealth.usf.edu. Community hospice and palliative care. Since 1979, the compassionate guide for more than 200,000 patients facing advanced illness in Northeast Florida. Today, serving 16 counties, including yours. Available 24/7 to help you and your loved one. More at choosecommunityhospice.com. Hi, I'm Andrew Wickman, host of Blues Horizon. The best in classic and modern blues is now on twice a week. Blues Horizon, Monday and Wednesday nights at 11, right here on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world, your music.
We WJCT and Baptist Health are pleased to announce that Bobby Thomas, beauty and fashion expert and author of The Power of Style, Everything You Need to Know Before You Get Dressed, will be this year's keynote speaker at A Day for Her, Saturday, August 18th at the Hyatt Hotel. Bobby, the style editor for The Today Show, will share Bobby's buzz tips on everything from favorite beauty tricks to her favorite lifestyle finds. For more information or to purchase tickets, log on to wjct.org/events.
If a hurricane threatens our state, Florida's public radio stations have joined forces to ensure you receive important storm information. No matter where you are, you can stay informed on the radio, online, on social media, and on the mobile app Florida Storms. Timely weather information is always available from WJCT. The Florida Public Radio Emergency Network is supported by Citizens Property Insurance. Online at citizensfla.com.
Welcome back. Well, the National Institutes of Mental Health estimates that more than 16 million adults in the United States had at least one major depressive episode in the last year. According to Mental Health America, 12 million women in the U.S. experience clinical depression each year. We've recently been saddened by the news of some high-profile suicides as well. Designer Kate Spade and chef and author and TV host Anthony Bourdain. One local woman who has been depressed off and on was Jacksonville resident Brett Petway. She fell into deep grief and depression when she lost her sister to Hodgkin's disease. Brett has written about the experience and how she dealt with it in a new book that's interactive. It's called Prayer is Good, A Path from Grief to Peace. And she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
And you look beautiful, vibrant, happy this morning. Of course, you've been through some difficult times in the writing of this book. Let's go back to what happened to be so challenging for you. Your sister's illness and her death. Can you tell us about her and what happened in your family?
Mandy, my sister Mandy, it's her name. And she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease as a junior in high school. And I was going off to college. And at that moment, my life changed when cancer came into our family. And it was very, very difficult. But I didn't really know it was difficult until I got away to school and was really trying to deal with my life. And I had some difficult times.
And then you lost your sister.
And then I lost my sister. So I came back. My sister passed at 25 and I was 28. And I came back to be with her because I knew that she wasn't doing well. And I decided I wanted to go on an Outward Bound trip because I had had so many difficult moments and challenges and depression and grief. So I went on this Outward Bound trip and I journaled every day. For 30 days, I journaled and things were just coming forward. And I have journaled every day since.
That was a form of therapy for you.
Yes.
We need to disclose as well that you're the daughter of local businessman Tom Petway, for those that might recognize the name.
Oh, my lovely father, yes.
And so you lost your sister, you journaled, and you were still just in a period of mourning, deep grief, as so many of us have been through when we lose a loved one.
That's right. And that is my prayer, is to share my Prayer's Good, A Path from Grief to Peace book with all dear people, because we all experience grief.
And so you dealt with your grief and your anxiety through a number of ways, prayer, art, journaling. And so that's the message of this book, which, by the way, is an interactive book. You can journal in the book and you can draw and color in the book.
In the book. And so each chapter is a word. There's 12 chapters and it's an inspirational word that you can color. So the first chapter is prayer. The second chapter is courage. And the fun part is the last chapter, you get to create your own word and, you know, your own flavor. So it's very, I share a little bit about my story in each chapter. And then I'm asking my reader to share a little bit about their story through their journaling and through their coloring.
And something that I like about this book is that we've become a digital world, and holding a piece of tactile text in our hands is not as common. What you're encouraging is a tactile experience to as therapy. And there's data, isn't there, to show that that actually works?
Absolutely. We know that occupational therapists and psychologists are prescribing coloring.
And isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. You know, and it calms your soul, soothes your nervous system. It really does bring you peace. And also we know that writing activates our brain, our left and right hemisphere. It helps with memory and processing. And we're losing that in our digital world. We're always on our tablets and our computers. It disconnects at our heart. And I'm on a mission, and it's my passion to keep us writing and keep us coloring and to heal ourselves through our grief and depression and post-traumatic stress, all these things right. that we all go through.
And I think the country is unsettled right now in many respects. People are grieving. People are angry for a number of different reasons. And so people do need spiritual support, and they do need ways to express these feelings. And so you're someone who is a person of faith. What would you say to those who aren't religious?
Right. I appreciate that question. It's prayer is non-denominational, and we're all connected. I'm connected to God. I love God, and God is just a part of my life, and I love sharing that. I'm coming forward, and I share a Bible verse in each chapter, and I love to bring the Bible into my work. But everybody can connect with something that is greater than them and feel that sense of connection. And we need that today, because we're connecting to things that aren't necessarily so healthy. And if we can call on this godly sense through prayer and connection and communication, we can actually feel better. And I just know that from my own experience, that it's helped me. I still have grief in my life, and I still have my phone and all of things that I have to work on every day. And I always go to prayer.
And for others, meditation could be another way to tap into that higher consciousness, that stillness space within yourself. Yeah.
And
I think
I'm meditating twice a day now, and it's just changed my life. And I haven't always been a meditator. So I consider prayer a communication and a connection with God. And I consider meditation listening and hearing and being able to be still and quiet. And I've come up with the term prayerful pauses. And so I'm inspiring people to take prayerful pauses throughout the day. Just take a couple minutes to take deep breaths, go to gratitude, find something that you're grateful for in the midst of what can be crazy and chaos, and really feel with all your heart and soul and spirit, feel the beauty that we are and the love that we are.
That's something everyone can benefit from. And I'm sure your sister, wherever her spirit is happy to see that you kept her memory alive with this beautiful book.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you know,
thank you.
Thank you.
I feel her with me, and I just, you know, I'm moved every day.
Yeah. Well, I moved to speak with you, and thank you so much, Brett, for sharing this with us. And you're a part-time resident of Jacksonville. So,
correct, yes.
And making any appearances to talk about the book?
Well, I was on Channel 4 on Monday.
Okay.
Yes.
Any book signings?
I was at the Bookmark on Saturday.
Oh, we already missed it.
Yeah.
But pick up a copy of Brett Pettway's new book, Prayer is Good, A Path from Grief to Peace. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And they can buy that at Amazon.com or PrayersGood.com. And we have a Prayers Good Circle Facebook group. Please come join me there.
Thanks so much. A quick break. And in a moment, the music of this weekend's Summer Songbook Showcase. That's after this.
The USF College of Public Health offers students career advancement with a certificate or degree from Florida's number one public health grad school, as ranked by U.S. News. Fall classes begin August 20th. Registration info at publichealth.usf.edu.
Community hospice and palliative care. Since 1979, the compassionate guide for more than 200,000 patients facing advanced illness in Northeast Florida. Today, serving 16 counties, including yours. Available 24/7 to help you and your loved one. More at choosecommunityhospice.com.
What's up with American boys?
There is something wrong. There is something broken in American straight white boys. And the result of that is that people are dying.
Comedian Michael Ian Black is talking about what's wrong with masculinity, and he's not laughing. I'm Tanzina Vega, and that's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
Weekdays at 2 on 89.9 WJCT.
We are 10 or more years past the collapse of the American housing market. So how do things look to a guy running an online real estate company today anyway?
It's hot. It is red hot. We're now past peak value in almost every city in the country. So that means we're above the 2007 peak that everyone talked about as a bubble.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the CEO of Zillow. Next time on Marketplace. Weeknights at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
Drag queens are gaining new fame on stage and on screen. You probably know RuPaul, whose reality show RuPaul's Drag Race is an Emmy-winning hit. But RuPaul's path was paved decades earlier. What makes a person want to do drag? And what does it take to sashay and stay? It's your chance to ask a drag queen. Next time on 1A.
Today at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, finally, this hour, you don't want to miss this weekend's Summer Songbook Showcase at the Blue Jay Listening Room in Jacksonville Beach. Songbook is a network of female singer-songwriters around the First Coast, and this is your chance to hear them perform. We've got a preview with members of the Songbook Showcase, Pamela Bernkrant and Tori Peoples. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And in a minute, Tori, you're going to sing for us. But first, Pamela, tell us a little bit about the Songbook Showcase.
Sure. Well, it's a showcase that we put on twice a year, and it is always a listening room style. So we have three local singer-songwriters who are on stage together, and they are doing a traditional singer-songwriter round where they take turns playing instead of being on stage for a solid 30 minutes by themselves. We put them all on stage together. And even better, we have an MC who leads discussion on how they write their songs, on their background, and just make the evening flow really well.
And in particular, this is a way to support female singer-songwriters, Tori.
Absolutely. Melissa, I think that's what makes what Pam and Morgan's platform so amazing. When Pam asked me if I was interested, I was like, absolutely, because this platform just shares a songwriter's heart, and it's all about, you know, women empowerment and just how amazing we are in this medium. So mm-hmm. I was super excited about being a part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many women are part of this network now?
It would be hard to say exactly. we're building our social media as best as we can, and we're having events like songwriter critique nights and workshops in between showcases. Mm-hmm. But I would say maybe a good 200 to 300 women.
Yeah, a lot of talent out there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it can be harder for women to break into the music industry. This is a way to kind of give some young talent out there a little assistance, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. We are starved for resources and knowledge, and I do not pretend to know all of it. But as I look, why not bring others along? So.
Now, Tori, you'll be one of the singers Saturday night.
Yes.
What describe your style a little bit, if you could.
You know, my style is a fusion of gospel, got jazz, and just a nice blending of all of that, like, you know, world music.
Backed up by a band or?
Actually, it'll be myself and Jonathan John Baptiste. He and I are actually a part of a band, John Lumpkin and the Covenant, and we do jazz music. So he was extremely excited about assisting me for this platform. So I'm extremely excited.
We're excited to have a little preview of your performance.
Absolutely.
What are you going to be singing?
I'm going to do a little snippet of a song called Love Chimes.
Here she is, Tori Peoples.
Dum dum da dum da dum 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 da 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 dum 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 da dum da dum dum dum. When I say I love you, I mean it, my friend. Ba-dum-da-dum-dum-dum. When I say I trust you, da-dum-da-dum-dum-dum. There's no need to pretend. Mm-mm-mm-dum-dum. If you're on your last time, da-dum-da-dum, I will be there on time. Da 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 da. I know it may be hard to believe. Oh, but you bring out the best in me. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. As the wind blows, I hear you in my ear like la love chimes. As the wind blows, I hear you in my ear like love chimes. Oh, when I say I love you, no, no, I mean it, my friends. No. When I say I trust you, ooh, I know I can depend on you. Oh, I know it may be hard to believe. Ooh, that you bring out the best in me. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Bring out the best in me. Da-da-da-da-da.
Thank you.
Tori people.
Yes, ma'am. It's
giving me chills over here.
Thank you, Melissa. Yes,
you giving ma'am. Me chills.
So come on out to the Blue Jay Listening Room on 3rd Street in Jacksonville Beach Saturday night for the Summer Songbook Showcase. Tickets at the door?
Tickets at the door, or we have a Facebook event. If you look up Songbook Jacks, we'll have the event right there for you.
All right. Tori and Pamela, they are part of the Female Singer-Songwriter Showcase that you can check out Saturday night at the Blue Jay Listening Room. Keep making that beautiful music, ladies. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening. 1A's up next. As outrage grows over child separations at the border, what is anyone doing about it? That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. If you're listening to our rebroadcast tonight at 8, just keep listening for the Electro Lounge. Enjoy your day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.